Well, you might not be able to see the board because I don't know for sure where the black marker is, but in green it says Fathers. And I feel like the Lord has been speaking to us some about fathers this week. And I don't always have a day message for whatever day it is, but I feel like the Lord was giving me a few things. Fathers are such an important part of the fabric of our society. And I know we here know that. But I just want to encourage the fathers. You are such an important part of who we are, of the world around us, of your jobs, of your children's lives, of the future of this country and of the church. You're a very important part of that. And so this morning, I just want us to think a little about fathers. I know it's not easy to be a father. A lot of times it's a very difficult call. And sometimes, we don't know what to do. And we were never fathers before we became a father, so we had to start learning. And so I think back about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and how they have shaped many things about the world ever since. And their mark on the world has been dramatic. And I know ours probably won't be dramatic like that. But you know, this morning, fathers that have done a real, put their heart into it and their best into it, especially live for the Lord, I will tell you, that is a contribution that nothing else can give the world. What we do, empires or money or all of those things, very little compared to what we will do being a faithful father to our children and husband to our wife faithfully. I think about Abraham, and you know, the Lord said this. He said, I know him. This is in Genesis 18. I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. You know, God spoke of Abraham and he testified of him and he said, I know Abraham. He's going to command his children after him. Well, you know, Abraham didn't have any big reins on his children. He wasn't a lord over his children, but the respect and the ideals that he put in them gave them a bearing in life that they followed. And we remember Jacob, remember Isaac and then Jacob, and they remembered their father Abraham, and they remembered his walk with God. Aren't we glad that Abraham was a man that followed the Lord with all his heart? He followed the Lord with all his heart, all his life. Isn't that awesome this morning? Abraham was a man. We don't really find any big things Abraham did. Not too many. He just obeyed God. He did what God told him to do. And yes, he went and he rescued Lot when he was taken away. And there's a few things like that. But Abraham mainly was a faithful man of God that did just what God told him to do. And so we have today a legacy from Abraham of faith and trust in God. And we have things that we really profit from in our day today because this man was a faithful man of God and a faithful father. And we find that he did command his children after him. We find his grandson Jacob. And you remember Jacob? He was born with the old carnal nature in him too. He was a mess. Jacob was a deceiver. He wasn't always what he should have been. But I'll tell you what, he knew about God. And there was a night that Jacob wrestled with an angel. And he wrestled all through the night until the morning was coming on. And the angel said, let me go. And he said, I won't let you go unless you bless me. And I will tell you, that's the kind of men that have an impact on the world today. And I want to encourage our fathers. Listen, God has put you in a responsible place, and we don't know how many generations might be affected by our faithfulness if we'll be faithful. We don't know where it goes. I'm sure that Abraham, I'm sure Jacob didn't realize that his name was going to be read every day for centuries to come to the end of the world. But Jacob wrestled with God and with the angel, and you know what? He got something out of that. And the angel said, your name's going to be Israel from now on because you have power with God and men. And here was this young man starting out carnal. He mistreated his brother and all of this. But I will tell you, he let God get a hold of him and things changed. And so this morning, I want to encourage our men. You know, that no matter where we are, whether we're a man of means or whether we're a man that just works an humble job every day. I want to tell you something. Abraham was a man of means, but he never lost sight that he was going to do God's will all the way in his life. And we find that. You remember Job? You remember, this is Job, the first chapter. But there was a man in the land of Uz, it says, whose name was Job. This is 1 and 1 to 5. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And the Lord testified of who Job was. God testified that he was a perfect man before him. And it says there were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning. It sounds to me like he probably called them to this time. I want you to come. I want you to set yourselves apart here this day. And I'm going to offer sacrifices for you guys. And he said, he sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Job was that kind of a father. Job was that kind of a man. He was a man of means. Job was a rich man, the richest man in the east there. But he never lost sight of one thing, and that is to serve God with all of his heart. And when he lost it all, and he lost his health, and he lost the support of his wife and everything, and he lost all of that, you know what he said? We all know. He was like, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what he ended up saying. Naked came I into this world, and naked shall I go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to tell you, Job was a man like that, and he was that kind of father. He cared about his children. He was tender. Though he was a man of authority and means, he was very tender about his children's souls, and he cared about them more than anything else. And so this morning, brothers, I just want to encourage you. I thank God for you today. Oh, I thank God for every man that wants to raise his children to serve the Lord. They may not all always do what we want them to do, but I want to tell you something. That effect does come to pass, doesn't it? It does have an effect. And here was Job, and we find out what kind of man he was. Similar to Abraham. Lord, just whatever you say. Whatever you say, that's all I want. That's the kind of men that we follow this morning. You know, the scriptures, I've thought before, I wish there was a Proverbs 31 for men. I wish we could turn to a chapter in the Bible And it would be Proverbs 31 for men, because that's the, you know, we all know that chapter for the sisters, for the ladies. What a beautiful chapter it is. And we've read it before on Mother's Day at times. But you know, the Lord didn't do that as far as I recollect. But I'll tell you what he did do. All through the scriptures, we find these places where the Lord gives us insight into men and into fathers. And if you look over in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 10, it says here, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." You know what we gather out of that? Paul said, "I have comforted and charged every one of you and exhorted every one of you as a father doth his children." Do you know that that tells us a little bit about what a father does, doesn't it? Maybe it doesn't come right out and always say all of these things, although in places it does. But here we find exhorting and comforting and charging our children. Fathers, we have a big job. And I know that a lot of them are out of state right now. Some of them, a number are at camp meetings and different places. But I want to exhort our fathers today to be those kind of men, as a father doth his children. I want to look over here at Deuteronomy 6. And the Lord gives us a charge. He gave these people in Deuteronomy a charge. Starting at verse 4, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Now, you know what I catch from that? The rest don't apply if it's not in our heart. Because we can try to do it. It might help some. But he says, the words here that I command you this day, they need to be in your heart first. And so we as men have a great responsibility to this upcoming generation, that we have it in our hearts first, and that we allow God that place in our lives. That we, like Job, like Abraham, like Jacob, like the many men who have went before us, have only one thing in mind, and that is to please God. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And we find Abraham getting up the next morning when the Lord said, "I want you to go sacrifice your son." Next morning he gets up early and saddles his donkey and takes off. That's the kind of men that we follow, folks. I just want to inspire us this morning to be those kind of men. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Do you know fathers have a job today? I know that there are millions today of children that are not being taught every day. And we all deal with them from time to time, pretty often sometimes. And you find them without any knowledge of how to live life. Without any knowledge. I got married and I don't even know the first thing about it. I've never been taught a thing. Never even seen it lived in my home. There's millions today, isn't there? Fathers, we have a job to do. Let's do it well. Let's become those kind of people that we diligently take the time to impart to our children the things that is in our heart and the things that we learn and the things that we seek after. He said, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house and when thou walkest by the way and when thou liest down, when thou risest up." It just is a part integrated into our life, isn't it? And this is the way that we teach our children, isn't it? All the time. And all the time. Not just constantly preaching at them, but it's something we impart all the time to our children. "And thou shalt Bind them, these commandments, for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. I want to tell you something. When you serve the Lord, you get a lot of good things in return. And houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go out after other gods or the gods of the people which are round about you. So, you know, we see a few men that have gone before us as Abraham, as we've mentioned already several times. Abraham and Job and Jacob, men that in spite of wherever they went in life, they did not forget to serve the Lord with all that they had. And God was well pleased with these men. He saw their hearts. He saw their desires. He saw their willingness to follow him in everything all the way. I don't want to dwell on this negative side, but I want to bring it out just for a minute. In 1 Samuel 25, we find a very interesting story that I've read a lot of times. It interests me to see it. 1 Samuel 25 and 17, we find a man named Nabal. He was very wealthy as well, only he was not like Abraham and Job. And the Lord couldn't speak good of this man because this man was, I think it calls him churlish, and we'll read about him here a little bit. Verse 17 says, "Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." Do you know who this man was? He couldn't be spoken to. He was so flying off the handle and so evil. And David had watched over his flocks and his people and all of this rich man's stuff. And when David was hungry, he had no mercy, no compassion, not even a little respect for him. And we find here that evil was determined and David was coming to kill Nabal. That's what he was doing. But a servant saw what happened and went to Nabal's wife named Abigail and told her what had went on. And it says, then Abigail, verse 18 to 21, then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. I wonder why she didn't tell him. Couldn't talk to him. The servant said that. You can't even talk to the guy. You can't talk to him. He won't let you. You know what, this morning, men, that's one thing we're going to have to really work on in our lives, that our wife, our children can talk to us, because if they don't, they end up becoming bitter. And she said, and it was so, verse 20, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. And so this morning, I just want us to think about a little bit what it means to be a father, and to hone our skills as a father to learn from mistakes we make, to humble ourselves when we need to, because it matters. I wonder what Nabal's children were like. I don't recall ever reading about them, but I have my doubts that they gave him peace either because of the way he was. And so we'll move on from that. Just wanted to mention that. There's such a big call in the world today for fathers, and so few that really feel that call. So few that take up their cross and humble themselves to the Lord and really follow Him and allow their children to have a father that will help them see their way through life in so many ways to the Lord, but so many other ways. How to work through marriage, how to have a job, how to have good work skills. These are things that we have to diligently, as it was told us in Deuteronomy, we diligently impart these things to our children day after day, all through their life. We have the first 18 years or so of their lives to do this. But I will tell you, we can wake up and it'd be too late. We can wake up one day. A father told me one time, he said, I blinked. He blinked when his children were teenagers and they needed him the most. And he said, I blinked. He didn't go out and sin. He didn't even give up the Lord. He just got away from his purpose. He just got away from giving his time to the Lord, his best to the Lord. And when he woke up from that, it was too late. It was too late for those teenage children, and they already were going out their way. And so this morning, we have an opportunity as fathers, and we have so many good fathers in this congregation, and I thank God for you this morning. All I'm wanting to do here is just give you a little inspiration, maybe, to become the best father we can be. Because we make so many mistakes as fathers, but our children are pretty forgiving as long as they know we really love them. In Luke 11 and verse 2, listen to what Jesus said here. We're picking out little things that we find about fathers. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. You know, Jesus likens our relationship to God to our relationship to the children. He said, when you pray, pray Our Father which art in heaven. And so he calls God Father. You know, we see the scriptures that read that we cry out, Abba, Father, or Father, Daddy, sort of. That's kind of the meaning. Meaning an affectionate love between us. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. You know, a father supplies well for the children, as much as possibly so. Fathers today hardly know that. I know a father, well, we all know a father. You know what? Not everybody supplies. Some are more concerned about their fun and their enjoyment than supplying and crucifying and crossing the flesh that they might have. That they want to just go out and I don't want to be a father. I don't want that responsibility. Folks, we have responsibility. I know I'm preaching to people here that already know all of these things. But I want to tell you something this morning. Let's keep it in mind. Let's help others to know. Look, you've got a responsibility. Maybe you do want to go out and just have fun all the time, but you can't do that. Because you have a responsibility. You are a father. You fathered somebody into this world. And now it's time to crucify your desires and your flesh and your wants and make sure they have daily bread, spiritually and physically. Is that right? Does it matter? Is it just bread? It's more than that, isn't it? Children need guidance. They need to know what direction to go. They need people They need men in their lives to show them how to be strong. They need men that can stand up in the face of whatever it is and be strong. You know, Moses said, and Jesus quoted this in Mark 7. Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. Children, I want to exhort you this morning. Honor your father and your mother. Honor them. Give them honor. Children, young folks, older folks, when we get older and we still have parents alive, do you know it's our job to honor them, to make sure they're well taken care of, to make sure that they have all the necessaries of life as they did for us as a baby? Did you know that lies within our scope of responsibility? He says, honor your father. The Lord gave that. And then again, in Ephesians 6, he says, children, Ephesians 6 and 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's what Paul said. This is right. This is the right thing to do. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And my understanding of that is mostly that this means that you might live long in the inheritance that God gives us. That the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan, the promise was to them that if they would honor God and honor their mother and father and do the Lord's commandments, they would live long in the land that the Lord promised them. I don't think it always means that we're going to live to be old. And yet, I think we do live to be older most of the time when we honor our parents. We stay out of so many things. The evidence, and I was looking some statistics up. I'm not going to hardly mention any of them. But I was looking statistics up on a father in the home. And I want to tell you, it is abundant. This is not just our statistics. This is not just things we believe. But even the world all around us, still you find the statistics are in, and they're overwhelming, that children do far better if father is in the home. Did you know that? Far better. I read one place, I think 72% of the murders in prison didn't have a father in the home. 72%. Did you know 33% of the children in the United States are not living with their natural father today? 33%. Folks, we've got a job to step up to. And we need to exhort some folks around us to step up to their job. When they're like, oh, I can't live with that. Folks, we better live with it. The future generations, our children, the things that are at stake in our society today hinge real heavily on whether the fathers do their job this morning. And I want to say just a few more things here about men and fathers. Do you know in 1 Corinthians 16 and 13, Paul writing here says, watch ye. Listen to what he says. Now this kind of goes contrary to culture today, but we're not buying into that today, are we? The Word of God gives us a lot. Watch ye stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. And so Paul just takes it for granted as he speaks. You rise up to the challenge like men. Be strong. And that's what men are supposed to be. Did you know men are supposed to be strong? They're not supposed to be weak. They're not supposed to be characterized as weak. When I found books that characterized men as weak, they went out of our house or they were put aside and I wanted rid of them. I want to tell you, don't let your children read books that characterize men as weak and stupid. Is that okay? We don't want to do that. Folks, Fathers, men are to be strong. We are to hone the skills of strength. And when we get hurt, we're to hone the skill of being able. Is this all right? You don't have to answer me. Is this all right? I want to tell you something. We must hone the skill of being strong enough to go on when the lion's in the streets. The slothful person, the wise man said. He says there's a lion in the streets and he won't go out. Folks, we have to go out. We have to go out when we don't feel like it. We have to go to work when there's danger involved. We have to do things that we know sometimes our life is on the line. That's the truth this morning. Let's be men. Let's be men that rise to the challenge. Let's be men that teach our children in a counterculture world that is all against all of these things. It's so strange to us, isn't it? So unbelievable, the things that we hear, see, and read every day. But I want to tell you, the Lord wants us to bring the Word of God, the principles of what He teaches us, that men are to be men. They are to be strong. They are not to act like a woman, not to be womanish, not to look like a woman. Men are to be strong, not given to their own fleshly appetites, but given to their responsibilities. Oh, men, I know you already, most all of you know this. Rise up, young men. Settle in your minds and your hearts. I'm going to rise up to be a man. I'm going to rise up to be a man that goes to work. I'm going to rise up to be a man that treats my wife right. And when I don't feel like I'm getting treated right, I'm going to learn to overcome those hurdles. I'm going to learn how to relate to my children. I'm going to learn how to make things happen by the grace of God. I'm going to learn how to lead in family worship. Does it mean a woman can't lead family worship? Of course, don't mean that. But I want to tell you something. I like to see men step up and lead sometimes. I like to see them be men in their homes, men where it counts. There's a lot that we need to pass on to future generations. How are they going to know? We see all around us people that we are so surprised, so amazed. How could they not know those most basic things? Because they've never been taught and they've never seen them lived. And they don't have a clue. And so they tell you, I don't know. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to be a father. I don't know how to be a husband. I don't know how to be a man. People will tell you that. And it hurts and it grieves us, doesn't it? Let's learn to be that kind of men this morning. Quit you like men. And yet there's another side of this thing. I was given a book when we first got married. The Man, I believe it was, if I remember the title right, The Man of Velvet and Steel. Do you know this morning, there's another side. Because remember the scripture in Psalms 103 that says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Do you know that we're not this stereotype of men that are so strong that they're hard, unreasonable, and overbearing? Folks, we're able and willing to stand up and be strong when we need to be, and willing and able to be very pitiful and tender with our children and our wife when we need to be. You know, those skills are not honed easily. Those things, putting the edge on that knife is not easy. We have to learn. We have to decide we're going to learn. And so this morning, I want to encourage us men, let's be those kind of men. I want to mention a scripture that's mentioned in Romans 1 and 22. And I know we're very familiar with this too. Do you know that, start at maybe 33, they profess themselves to be such wise people that they changed the glory. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You know what people all across the world in centuries past and even today, they carve images. We see them. You go in a Chinese restaurant, you're liable to see an image there when you go right in. Isn't that amazing? And they changed the glory, the magnificence, the beauty of the uncorruptible God and made him something they carved up or some ideal in their mind, an idea that they have conjured up that God is. Or something that God made, like the sun. It happens. That's because Satan is at work. Folks, should it not be? Do we not realize that if they're going to do that to God, that they're going to do that to what he made, to the institutions he made, to the bedrock, like fathers of society? Will they not take men and try to change them into something they're not and clothe them in ways that they have no business being clothed and make them act as if they're feminine little things? And you find today all around us, you find, Rosie and I was talking the other day, it's kind of hard to understand. You see more and more men with ponytails and more women with all their hair cut off. And it's like, what is going on? I want to tell you, I don't have any desire for a ponytail. And I want to tell you, I hope you don't either. And don't ever let the world make you think that you need a ponytail if you're a man. Folks, we're men and we're supposed to be men. Act like men. Grow up like men. Treat your families like a man. Velvet and steel. When it needs to be strong, it's strong. When it's untouchable, it's going to be there. It's not going to give. But it's going to have velvet on it. And it's going to have love. And it's going to have tenderness. And it's going to have pity. And it's going to have compassion and mercy and love. That's a man. So this morning, just wanted to share those few little thoughts with us today. Folks, let's be men. Let's let God work in our lives. Let's let him work with our families. Let's have some ideals for our families that are more than just that I wear the pants around here. I wear the pants, and so I pull them up, and I'm the one in charge. Folks, listen, that's a terrible trade for a real father. I want to tell you, have some ideals that we want to see. And I want to read a scripture or two here. Maybe two sets of scriptures. Psalms 144. And 11. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth must speaketh vanity, and the right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants, grown up in their youth. That our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace. I hope we have some ideals in mind and some thoughts in mind for our family and for our children that we want more than just to get rid of them, get them out on life, get them out there. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Oh, I just want to leave that with us. Folks, listen. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Let's be willing to be men. I thank God for our men. I thank God that we're rich right here. Folks, that we have men that are men with their families. Be of good courage, 1 Chronicles says, and let us behave ourselves valiantly for the people and for the cities of our God. I want to tell you, the Lord wants us to behave ourselves valiantly. Thank you, brothers, for being brothers, for being men, for being brothers in the Lord, for being willing to be strong I see you going out and working hard. I see your sacrifices for your family. I see you bringing your children and diligently teaching them the ways of God. I can't think of anything better. Because, folks, when we're dead and gone, it's not going to be about our mark that we made in this world. Except that the things and responsibilities that God gave us, such as being fathers, that we do that well. And folks, if we do that well, I think we'll be well fitted to go to the next world and enjoy that in the Lord. And we can leave something behind for our children to know the way. Even if they don't choose the way right off, at least they know the way. At least they know. At least they know where to go. The Lord bless us each one today. Amen.